This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it me?
Yes, sir.
I'm confused on what's happening right now.
I know, because you're on the East Coast.
Yes, I am on the East Coast. It is 4 o'clock there, 4:01 in San Diego. It is 7:01 here in New York City. That really chops my hide. You guys remember that from the salsa commercial?
You guys remember that? Sounded good. You did a good rendition of that.
What was the name of the salsa?
Pace Picante?
Pace Picante.
Yes, it was. I remember this
New
now.
York City.
That is hilarious. I haven't thought about that in a long
time.
See,
yeah, that's how you know I was in front of the TV a lot as a youngin' watching these Padre games. Those commercials used to come up like all the time. So some of these things are like literally burned into my brain. All right, I gotten us off track. Scraby has a pitiful White Sox ending that he really wants to play before we get into some Chris versus Fan.
So, we all know the White Sox have had a tough year, but they just got walked off on Monday, the Cal Raleigh play. We just heard it at the end of the 3 o'clock hour. Here's the White Sox side of the call, and I really let it breathe, so you can just feel the depression. Here it is.
The air just being sucked out of the room?
Yes.
Jordan Leisure, ready. Here's the 1-0. Low. Shouldn't have to say it, but we're paid to talk. Can't walk them. Bases loaded. Now, so the best bet is to throw strike one rather than ball one and two. The 2-0 to Raleigh, and he just cracked a grand slam to right. An emphatic finish for the Mariners, who overcame a 4-0 deficit in the eighth, and they win the game 8-4.
It goes on and on and on, but my favorite part of that is them openly criticizing the team right before that grand slam goes up of like, yep, you should probably throw strikes in this situation. But can you imagine Tony and Chris being stuck in that situation where you're with a terrible team and they just keep losing?
It's not easy. It's not easy. I did one basketball team in the CBA here in San Diego that went 3-21 before it folded, and that was a tough 2 months. Because you know everybody. You travel with these guys. You get to know them. I mean, you hang with them, go to practice, lose every single game. It takes a little bit of you every time, I think.
I'm sure. Are we judging this one?
No. You don't need to judge this one.
Because it actually, you know, if I'm being fair, outside of the, you know, you probably don't want to throw ball one, ball two, because that's just, that sounds like someone who's been, you know, buried under a lot of bad baseball. That's not the best look, if we're being honest. You don't want to be doing that kind of stuff. But the call itself is actually how it should sound when your team gets beat. Like, it was a grand slam. It was a walk-off. I thought he gave, like, the right kind of umph to it. But it was also clear, like, he was like, man, I'm fed up. Like, this is just, like, this keeps happening.
But the other side of the you know, the team that's hitting that, they're like, it's up. It's going back to this guy.
Well,
like, this guy literally immediately goes, he cranked a grand slam.
That's exactly how it should go. He built Rick Riz built it up and like kind of had you on the edge of your seat, like, is it going?
Yeah.
Is it going? Is it? And then this one, he didn't do it. He let you down soon as it was hit, you knew. And this is going to be a grand slam. You're like, oh, okay, well, we could turn the radio off now. And
yeah, I could feel the collective Chicago White Sox fan base just turning off the radio
off
when he hit
100%.
That.
I've got the MLB standings up. Do you want to get to, anybody want to take a guess how many wins the White Sox have this year?
16.
17.
Yeah.
They are 7 games worse than the Marlins, who have the second worst record in baseball.
That's great.
It's been a long 17-52.
And guess what? They won't even be guaranteed the number one pick because of that when it's all said.
That is so brutal. Steven Wilson, unfortunately, I believe gave up the game last night, but I mean, he's pitching in a terrible spot. So anyway, that was the sad White Sox call. Back to you.
Back to me. All
back
right,
to
well,
Tony, yeah.
All right, well, we got a Chris versus the fans to get to, so let's get to it.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
See, Nate said on the chat, see, it could be worse. That's the right sentiment, Nate.
It could be a whole lot worse. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, you guys said you heard all the radios clicking off after that call. I heard all the radios clicking off before that call. I think the,
no one was
I don't even think anybody's even listening to the White Sox anymore.
Oh, that's so brutal. And they were in Seattle. That was probably a late game, so it was super late in Chicago. Anyway, you, if you win this, will be qualified for a chance to win our grand prize, a two-night stay at Fontainebleau, Las Vegas, tickets to either Hootie and the Blowfish or Smashing Pumpkins at the Blue Live Theater, and $150 poolside dining credit. Summer room packages and tickets are available now at FontainebleauLasVegas.com. And the rules. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. We have some stocked questions. Chris, are you going to be rolling the die again today?
No.
Okay, well.
Just have Adam pick. Adam's good.
Okay, well, you just got to let me know, Chris, who's coming on, or you just bring him on the phone.
Well,
okay?
I would use the die, but it's not anywhere within my reach.
Oh,
so.
Gotcha.
So. Why don't you start with line, wait. Okay, what are we doing here?
Chris versus the fans.
I don't know. That part I know. How are we choosing the contestants?
Just choose someone.
Gavin, line right. Two.
Hello, Gavin.
Hey, Gavin.
What's going on? You know, we had it like that one time in 2013 when Teddy would be disappointed at about 10:30 at night. We definitely lived through it.
That is true. I do remember
those days. We've definitely been through it. It's been a while since we've been through it, but no, I mean, the Padre fans probably have lived through a lot of those type of feelings. No.
It has been a while. I'm grateful for that.
Good. I like this. Indeed. We're talking to Gavin, right? Yes, Gavin. All right, Gavin. I forgot to say one thing. If you're a first-time player, let us know before you get into it, and you will get that question for free. But Gavin's already played today. So we'll go to question number one. All right, Gavin, what food-eating legend was banned from the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest?
Legend Joey Chestnut.
Correct. Still can't believe they banned him. This is one of the dumbest things I've ever done.
Hey, he signed a deal with vegan. They're competing. They can't have it.
Still one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. We're going to be talking about Joey Chestnut at the Big Five if we make it to that point in the Big Five. All right, Gavin, here's question number two. This is one of those. I'm going to give you some players. You're going to tell me what team they played for. Luke Voit, Tommy Pham, Dexter Fowler.
So they all had to have played for one team?
Yes.
They were,
you don't need to say the year, but they were all on one team together. What was the team? Luke Voit, Tommy Pham, Dexter Fowler.
Cardinals.
Cardinals
is correct.
Nah.
Ding, ding.
2017
very good.
Cardinals. I forgot that Luke Voit played for the Cardinals.
Well, Gavin did not.
No.
So that's good.
Thanks, Chris. All right, here we go. Gavin, you get this right. If Chris gets it wrong, and you're qualified for Las Vegas.
He knows.
All right, I think Chris will know this one. Chris definitely knows this one, but it's up to you, Gavin. Who managed the Padres from 1988 to 1990?
Oh, no. I was born in 98, so this is, I don't know. I'm going to hope Chris is having a brain fart today. I got nothing.
All right. That's incorrect. Chris, are
what are the years here?
88 through 90.
Trader Jack?
Trader Jack is correct.
Jack McKeon.
Yes.
Who, you know, was given up on as a manager here in San Diego, kind of like Bruce Bochy was a little bit. Jack McKeon went on and won a World Series elsewhere, kind of like Bruce Bochy did.
I was just about to say, it kind of sounds a little familiar.
Sounds familiar.
All right. Who's our next contestant, Chris?
Oh, that'll be Brad and Santee on line 5.
Hello, Brad.
Hey, Brad.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not much. All right, here we go. Question number one. Which two teams are playing in the NBA Finals right now?
The Celtics and the Mavs.
That is correct. Scared me for a second. Honestly, if I don't work in sports, I may have not gotten that one. Because
you
this
definitely
may...
You were a liker of sports, so you definitely.
Okay,
would
all right.
Not
that's not where I was going with this. I was just
as a matter of fact,
of
you had to look that up before you asked it.
I did. Yeah, I just had to double check it too. No, I'm just kidding. All right, here we go. Question number two. What pitcher won Game 1 and Game 5 of the 2014 World Series, but also appeared in Game 7 of that same World Series?
I believe that was Bumgarner.
Bumgarner is correct.
Well done. Nice job, Brad.
I remember the sports talk the next day. I wasn't working in sports talk yet, but they were all so worried that his arm was going to fall off the next year because of how much he pitched in the postseason. Yeah.
Well, in many years before that, 2001, Randy Johnson won Game 6 as a starter for Arizona and also won Game 7 as a reliever for Arizona. Something I don't think you'd... I didn't,
okay.
Believe it or not.
All right, so guys can throw and their arms won't fall off.
I mean, the thing that should be pointed out, there was a kind of a downward slide for Bumgarner after that series. Now, that he could have already been headed down that slip path before he pitched in games 1, 4, and 7, but he did kind of start going this way after.
You remember the Mets also pushed Matt Harvey real hard in their World Series year after Tommy John surgery, and he was never the same.
I think there's other stuff with Matt Harvey.
All right, so. Mr. Analytics out there. I could give you Bob Gibson in 1964, 67, and 68, who pitched game 1, 4, and 7 in all three series and seemed to come out of it just fine.
Thank you. I was just about to say, leave it to Chris back to the 40s.
No, that's your answer to everything, and it's only going back to the 60s, so stop it.
I know. All right.
Which, by the way, is almost, whereas, I mean, 60s is not that close. We got 60 years away.
It's not that close.
Just wanted to point that out, but go ahead now. Carry on.
That was a long time ago. Man.
Take Michael King out after 5 innings. Go ahead, Scrape.
Oh, don't get me started.
All right.
They're lucky they won that game, or else I was going to eviscerate the decision-making process yesterday. All right, question number 3 to Brad.
Poking holes in that argument, too.
They won, so I threw it away. All right, Brad. Who was the last player to hit 4 home runs in one game?
Never easy.
I believe it was last year, but I'm not sure. Was it the polar bear, the Mets?
The polar bear, Alonzo. Pete Alonzo, is incorrect. Chris?
There are two players in baseball that I get confused. I don't know why.
This is going to be great.
I don't know why, but I confuse Nick Castellanos and J.D. Martinez.
They kind of look similar a little
bit. Is that right? I don't know why I do.
No, they don't.
Okay.
I don't think they look alike either, Tony. You're right. But and they don't play with the same teams. They just, for some reason, they're the same guy to me. And I know it's one of them. So I don't have a coin to flip. I'll try Nick Castellanos.
Nick Castellanos is incorrect. It was J.D. Martinez. And Brad, you have won. Nice job, man.
I told you, those guys, I don't know what it is. Good for you, Brad. Good for you, Brad.
They had that season, they had, thank you to the crowd, they had 2 players hit 4 home runs in like a 2-month span in that 2017 season. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was a Fugazi power season. The ball was ridiculous. That season alone made everybody forget that Petco Park actually is like a graveyard.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Because they said, I think they said franchise records that year in homers. The 2017 team did, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, man, the ball. Go back. I think we did this before. Just go back and see how many guys hit 20 homers. I think it was something like 115. It might have even been more than that.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Hit 20 homers or more.
So 2017 is the year. That was just craziness.
Is that the year that Franmil hit like 30
Everybody
home
was
runs?
Hitting. I think, what was it?
Manny Margot just got a haircut.
Franmil, my man. I love that guy.
I miss him. I miss him so much.
Where
I'm
is he
real
now?
Quick.
He's at the crib right now.
He's at the crib.
Poor Franmil.
I think he is.
All right, I'm looking, and Giancarlo Stanton led the league with 59 home runs. Aaron Judge had 52. J.D. Martinez, 45. I mean, you go down to, okay, so that's 22 players.
I just had it up, and there must have been so many that the app just shut down, so I got to start from scratch again.
It goes all the way. Nomar Mazara had 20 home runs in 2017.
Remember former Padre Nomar Mazara?
I didn't see him hitting many home runs with the Padres. At least 20, not 20.
I'm on the MLB reference site now. It looks like there's 117 guys with 20 or more home runs. The last listed is Nomar Mazara. There you go. 117 guys had 20 or more home runs, and there's some
knock it off.
There's some no names on there. Keon Broxton, anyone?
Oh, I love the Broxton.
Former Brewer.
Sure you are. Do Luis Valbuena.
Love
ring a
the
bell?
Valbuena.
Yeah. Tommy Joseph. Anyone?
Never heard of Mr. Joseph.
No, I haven't either. So, yeah, it was quite a year.
And it like warped everybody's thinking, too.
Yeah,
like,
sure did. Yeah, there's a lot of guys had great years.
All right.
Very good, Brad. Congratulations. Stay on the line. Adam will pick up the phone there at the break, and you'll cash in. Hopefully, you'll get the trip to Las Vegas.
Scraby, where are we driving to next?
I think we should discuss Gonzo's keeping us on the clock. He said 4:17. I'm just...
Thank you, Gonzo. I'm trying to get us to break, man.
We're going to quickly talk about Chucky Lozano. He was introduced by San Diego SDFC today.
Oh, FC, yes.
And then we'll try to get through a big five, but I feel like we're going to get through three topics. That's just type of the day it has been. So we'll get to all of that when we get back here in 97.3 The Fan. But first, traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
4:24 is the time. 7:24 p.m. New York City time. Tony Gwynn Jr. is there. Chris Sello is here. Matt Scraby is there, as in Carlsbad. Still recuperating following a successful shoulder surgery the other day. Adam Klug on the board. Big day in the world of San Diego soccer, professional soccer. And we'll get to that in just a minute. Before we get to that, guys, one thing I wanted to touch on. And Tony, I know you're aware of it. Of course you are. And many are around you. But John Morosi today posted something that was tremendously heartfelt. Tony, I don't know if you saw it on Twitter. I'm thinking you probably did. It has to do with the fact that Sunday, Father's Day, and it will be, you know, it's emotional, but the 10-year anniversary of your dad's passing. I know it's going to be a very difficult weekend for you and your family, Tony. I just want to let you know I'm thinking of you and your sister, your mom especially, and everybody in the Gwynn household. And I don't know if you want to get a smile brought to your face, watch this tribute by John Morosi of MLB Network. He tweeted it out today. I retweeted it. And, you know, just, you know, have as good and, you know, I know it's gonna be a tough time this weekend, and, but we're all with you, T. And I just wanted to mention that. I didn't know if I'd get a chance to say it tomorrow because we have a very short show tomorrow. So,
yeah, no, I appreciate that because, you know, by the time the day gets here, it'll be we'll be on a weekend. We won't be on the air.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you bringing it up. I got the text from John this morning, I think before or right after he sent a tweet out. And, you know, the month of May and June is tough for the Gwynn family. My dad's birthday falls on May 9th. His passing and Father's Day run together, it seems like. And so, yeah. You know, May, June is tough for me. It's especially tough for my mother. And so, yeah, we appreciate all the prayers and thoughtfulness that you guys send our way.
Yeah, but to you fans out there, because I know it's also, you know, never easy for any of us, but watch John Morosi's very nice tribute. I tweeted it out. Go to @ChriselloSD. You can find that. And it'll hopefully put a little smile on everybody's face heading into the weekend. All right, the news today down at Snapdragon Stadium putting a smile on the face, certainly, of soccer fans in San Diego. Chucky Mania has hit town. And that is because the San Diego FC, which will begin play next season, has introduced Chucky Lozano, the great former Mexican World Cup star, as their first new player. I love my guy Bernie Wilson, though, of the Associated Press. I'm reading his story online here about today's introduction. And you know how Bernie can be a little caustic, Tony, from time to time.
Yes.
Bernie says, on a typically brilliant San Diego day, Mexican soccer star Chucky Lozano said he'd like to do something that's generally not typical around here. Win championships.
Yowzers.
Yeah.
Oh. Bernie, that's said only a way that Bernie can say it.
That's
too.
Right. Only Bernie can get that line in, kind of making a dig there at, you know, all of our teams. But yeah, it was. I know you were there, Adam, today for the introduction, and there was quite a few down. I mean, people are excited, obviously, about this team, and this is going to be the first real hero that plays for this squad.
There was a big turnout at the press conference, and they're expecting 10,000 fans tonight down at the Rady Shell for the Chucky Mania fan interaction.
10,000 people?
Yeah.
Wow. What's going on down there? I mean, they're just going to
Chucky
bring
Mania,
them out?
Chris.
Okay. Anything else?
The public, and, you know, he'll get out there and say hello and probably, you know, kick soccer ball around and interact with the fans.
He's going to kick soccer ball around.
He's going to kick soccer ball around at Children's Rady's?
That's what I said. Not at Children's Rady's.
That's what I said.
It's like an amphitheater.
Yeah, I know what it is, but
it's a nice place.
It doesn't seem like a great place to kick a soccer ball around.
Right.
I mean, I've been there for a concert before. I mean, can the guy sing? I don't know.
Maybe we'll find out.
Yeah, maybe we'll find out. Do we want to play some of his comments today?
Yes, we do.
All right. Why don't you lead us into
all
that,
right,
Mr. Scraby?
Chucky Lozano.
You are today's choice as our soccer expert.
And by the way, I know it's not Chucky. Now I know it's not Chucky. It's spelled Chucky. It's Chucky. I will get it right. Going forward, this is going to be a project for all of us. But
nope, for you. Just
okay,
for
me. Yeah, you're right, for me. And Chris went there with me. Chucky Lozano did his press conference this morning, and he talked about why he chose San Diego FC. He talked about basically why he wants to be in San Diego.
First of all, what most excites you about playing in San Diego? And like Tyler mentioned, the people that's going to be, you know, surrounding you in a club that's built from the ground up.
For me, it's too much important for the new club, for the start together with San Diego. I like it. I like to San Diego. I like to all the people work to the club. It's a nice, amazing people. For me, it's too much opportunities for trying to dream for the club, for the together is an amazing club.
And why MLS? Why choose Major League Soccer? And what have you seen from the league abroad?
For me, it's an important league. Now MLS have the best player in the world. and I have two players, important players in the league, and for me it's a big opportunity for the more level for the league.
Well, he did. He did play. I tell you one thing: we talked about winning and championships. This guy played on a squad in Europe, and I'm looking for the name. I had it right in front of me here, and of course now the, you know, when like an ad pops up and it repositions something on your screen.
What are you looking at, Chris?
And I'm looking at the story that Bernie wrote, but I can't find what he wrote about this. Anyway, the team.
It was Napoli 2019. He signed for that club. He began his career at Pachuca.
No, he was with Eindhoven in the Netherlands. I think this is what I was looking for. And he will remain actually with them through January 1st. But the point that Bernie made in the story is that this that Eindhoven won 29 championships in the Netherlands. So not that he won them all, but he has been. You know, he's been around winning, so hopefully he can bring that to San Diego. I hope so. I don't know. I'm just, anybody going to help me out of this mess?
Yeah, no, you're fine. I think it's great. When people choose San Diego, I'm going to get behind them. When they choose San Diego to be a place where they want to put down some roots, I'm going to get behind them.
Yeah, no, I just, he's clearly a big signing, a big draw. And, you know, I think the one thing that could have been learned from watching the Wave and their kind of entrance into San Diego was they went out, they got a name that people knew, and it allowed them in their first year to draw well, but they also had a ton of success. And so it may be a blueprint for how San Diego FC is doing it. They're doing it with Chuki, and they're going to bring a basin that is familiar, loves to watch him play. How much he has in the tank, I'm not 100% sure. I haven't seen enough of him in terms of on the pitch, but I see where it's going. You know, you got a city that loves the sport. It seems like it's going to support it based on what we've seen so far in the landscape. And you know, bringing a guy like this is a good move. It's a good move.
Yes,
at least to start. They got to continue to build the roster out. You know, in order to figure out, because the MLS is it's a pretty strong league in terms of. Some of the teams that they're going to have to try to, you know, go up against. They got their work cut out for them, but this is a good move to start.
Bernie Wilson with the funny line, though. Yeah, we haven't won any championships, Bernie.
Your the guy, chat Bernie. Is saying
it hurts. It hurts, but it's not a lie.
Nah. What'd the chat say, Scrap?
The chat said, "Don't forget about the goals. They've won some championships."
Yes. All right, and I was part of all of them, but that's still not at the highest level of sport. So that's what we're after here.
That's you know, I know, Izzy, you know that line burns. It burns people. We start pulling out goals.
Yes, oh, the goals, the soccer, all this stuff. Yeah, well, we still need one at the highest possible level.
And, La Costa Canyon has a baseball
title. And so. We hear you, San Diego State volleyball team, 1973. We hear you.
We hear you.
Okay. Because that one comes up every time, too. All right. Let's see. Big Five coming up to wrap things up next on our final segment of Gwen and Chris today.
All righty, last segment of the show. We have no time to waste. We got a Big Five. I'm not sure where that one camera is angled at, but nonetheless.
There it is.
It's Adam. I thought Adam just left. It's like, I'm
it has
done.
A mind of its own.
He's out.
Let's jump into the Big Five first. Here's some traffic.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danick.
Traffic is sponsored by Valvoline Instant Draft Your Oil Change, your trusted instant draft your oil change. Well, good news for northbound 163 travelers. That accident has been clear from three right lanes near Mesa College. And an accident at the clearing stage on south 163 right at the southbound 5 connector. Only other problem is westbound 8 at College Avenue off-ramp. Accident involving a couple vehicles. Looks like that's blocking the left turn lane. Stop by any of the 30 San Diego Valvoline Instant Oil Change Centers. You don't have to get out of your car. That usually only takes 15 minutes or less. Plus, get a free courtesy check of your tires and battery. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for directions and discounts. SoCalOilChange.com. I'm Kelly Danik with Glenn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
And this hour, 97.3 The Fan, is brought to you by the San Diego County Fair. Let's go retro at the San Diego County Fair, opening June 12th. So it's already open. That was yesterday. The magic of the Midway and live concerts featuring the Kings of Late Night, Jay Leno, Craig Ferguson, and Arsenio Hall are performing live June 21st. Get your tickets now at sdfair.com. Let's go retro. Don't be laughing over there, Chris. You were the one who read the Lay Leno thing a couple weeks ago, so here we go. Let's get into it. He's just shaking his head.
Number five. He doesn't take your bait anymore. He just ignores you, which is great.
He doesn't. All right, let's talk about Garrett Crochet and Bleacher Report. I mean, the trade rumors on this guy are going to keep coming and keep coming until the trade deadline is over. And Bleacher Report's Zach Reimer put out a list with the top 10 locations for Garrett Crochet. The Padres, number one on his list of teams that will acquire Garrett Crochet. We know that he does have some injury history and has never thrown as many innings as he could potentially throw this year. But, Tony, would this be more of a move for the future, or would this be a move for this year?
I guess both, because I think he's under control beyond this year.
He is, yeah, two more years.
Yeah, you know, we'll see. I personally am not comfortable with it. I think this is a risky. That would be a risky move given his injury history. But you know, when he's healthy, he's good. He's really good. So I don't know what that means. Padres may or may not address this part of the team. We will see.
Yet to be determined. Chris, would this be a move for the future, or would it be for this year?
This is a move they should not make. That's all. I mean, that was the question.
Well, I know it wasn't,
but I don't want them to do this. They've traded eight guys from their farm system already. I'm not a fan of farm system guys. You know that. But you have to keep somebody. And I don't think you can spread yourself any thinner. To me, Darvish is going to be back. Musgrove might be back. Either way, Vasquez is fine with me to fill in if need be. And if you bring Crochet and you have six starters, I'm not comfortable sending Waldron to the bullpen right now. But I'm least of all comfortable giving up more prospects. I think they've already reached their limit.
I don't mind giving up prospects, but I just feel like at least the guys they've traded for in the past didn't have these type of question marks. You know, the one guy that I guess he really didn't have a question mark when they traded for him. He had one thereafter was Clevinger.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody else that they've made moves for, you know, you haven't really had to worry about that type of deal. But Crochet has missed what I think each of the last two seasons or missed parts of each of the last two seasons.
Pretty much a year and a half.
So I don't know.
Hasn't had any issues this year.
Number four.
Philadelphia Sports Radio is running wild right now with speculation that Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni are not getting along. Recently, Jalen Hurts was asked about Sirianni and his new role. Now the offensive coordinator Kellen Moore is going to be taking over the offense. And here is what Jalen Hurts said and why people are concerned.
I mean, it's a great question. I don't know that I know the answer to it.
So he doesn't know the answer to it, which is not the best look, I don't think, for the star quarterback. He went on to say in that clip, because they asked him for a clarification, he said, I think he's been great in the messages he's delivering to the team. He's trying to be very intentional in what he's saying. So people are taking this as Jalen Hurts not backing his head coach. Chris, do you think, or what do you think about his response?
I can't, I don't know, I can't read Jalen Hurts' mind. It sounded like there might be a little something there, but they're probably overdoing it. It is Philadelphia, after all. So since they normally overdo things, I'll go ahead and overdo something. Are you telling me that Kellen Moore is the new offensive coordinator of the Eagles?
Yes, he is.
I'm going to tell you that the Eagles are going to stink this year on offense. I'm tired of this guy being anointed as the next great thing. And it may just go back to the fact that he played at Boise State and he tortured the Aztecs. Although it may not, because I don't know what great success this guy has actually had. There.
Fair point.
I said it.
It's a fair point. Tony, what do you think about Jalen Hurts' response here to, about Nick Sirianni?
What was the question that was he was asked?
Yeah, I know. It's really hard to hear. But the question was, what do you think about Nick Sirianni? And let me pull it back up. Hold on. Just make sure I get the right quote before I move on. He was asked about Nick Sirianni being open-minded to change with the offense and what it says about him.
I could see why he didn't know how to answer that question then. Like, openness to the new offense, he's not the coordinator no more. It's a new coordinator. So, I mean, what is his openness to this? I mean, what is his role in that? I mean,
basically what people are saying is there is no role for Nick Sirianni anymore. He's just head cheerleader.
I don't know if many people know this, but the head coach is literally just supposed to kind of head coach the entire team. Like, he doesn't really have a offensive role.
Almost every team has their own offensive coordinator and defensive.
He's kind of just the guy who corrals it all, brings it all together. So I can see why he may not have really understood how to answer that question from whoever asked it. And then, of course, you know, when you don't answer the question, even if it's a tough question to answer, we all just make up what we want to make up at that point. And so now he's not backing his head coach.
Yeah, you know, I can't say that I'm sad to see that the Eagles are in disarray as they are right now. So,
number three.
Thank you, Adam.
The 49ers will soon follow.
We're going to stay in Philly for this one and talk about the Phillies. They are off to a great start, and they are looking like a team to beat. And as we've been talking about trade rumors here in San Diego, in Philly they are talking about bringing a first baseman to the team in a form of one of these three: Pete Alonso, Vladdy Jr., or Diamondbacks Christian Walker at the trade deadline. That would actually require Bryce Harper to move from first base out to right field again, and then Castellanos going from right field to field.
Wait,
Tony, you're up for it. Yes.
Real quick, they said they're looking for a first baseman?
No, I'm saying this is like sports media
pandering
about it and thinking, like, how can we improve this team? Tony, do you see the Phillies getting any of these guys in a trade?
Oh, you said Alonso. Who was the other one?
Vladdy Jr. and Christian Walker.
Yeah, here's the problem. And I think it would be a mistake to bring those guys, not because they wouldn't make the team that much stronger offensively. You start really having to shuffle people playing defense. You already got Schwarber, who is a defensive liability. That's why he is the DH on most nights. If you bring Alonso in, now you're forcing Bryce, who had Tommy John last year, to move to the outfield when he clearly wasn't prepared to do that. I just, you know, sometimes you should leave well enough alone. And I don't know that bringing in those three particular guys. Now, I don't know. Is somebody hurt that I'm missing?
Well, right now, Trey Turner has been hurt for a long time. I think he'll be back. No, and Brandon Marsh is out, but he's due back shortly. But he's been a platoon guy most of the year anyway.
I mean, so. I don't know. All three of those guys that you mentioned are everyday guys. Christian Walker.
Yes, they are.
Pete Alonso and
Vladdy Jr.
Vladdy. Bryce moving. And Bryce is, you know, Bryce is willing to do these things. So I guess it's a possibility. But I don't know that I would bring him in, because it could mess up what you got going right now, which is a fantastic thing.
Yeah. Chris, do you see the Phillies bringing in any of these guys at the trade deadline?
I totally see them trying to do it because every team that's in contention feels like they have to improve the roster in order to win it all. And guess what? They don't. Tony's right. Leave well enough alone. You already have one of the best teams in baseball by a wide margin at the moment.
Yeah.
There's really nobody close. I don't think I would, you know, go out of my way to do this. I don't know their farm system, you know, in the ins and outs of all of it. But, Tony's right. You start changing guys around three or four position shifts, you start coughing up a run or two extra night in and night out, and it can catch up to you.
Listen, obviously those guys are all good, and if Bryce is willing to move back to the outfield, great. But, you know, if... I assume he is if they're actually talking about these type of things. So,
yeah, he would be the person to start with. All right.
Right. I mean, he's right there in the building.
Yeah.
He's asking.
We'll go to the next. And this is probably the last. But Mets broadcaster Gary Cohen was not happy with the Oh, by the way, real quick. Chat is saying Mets would never trade Alonso to in division to the Phillies, which I kind of
that
agree
seems
with.
That seems like a wild card, too. I was thinking the same thing.
Mets broadcaster Gary Cohen was not happy with the Marlins' baseball awareness in the third inning during last night's 10-4 loss to the Mets, the Marlins' loss to the Mets. He was angry because no one knew the force at second was the third out of the inning. Here is Gary Cohen last night calling the game.
Alvarez, who drove in a run with a base hit his first time. Rivera goes to second and gets the force, which is the third out. The inning's over. Nobody on the field seems to know how many out there are. I mean, come on. 5-4 force ends the inning. You can get somebody killed that way.
So he hits a break, you can get somebody killed that way.
Well, because they threw the relay to first base.
And it went over the guy's head, and
yes,
it was like...
Everyone was running after the loose ball, and the inning was over.
Yeah. Chris, yeah. How embarrassing is it to not know how many outs there are as a major leaguer?
Well, it's not the first time it's ever happened. So,
right.
You know, it's embarrassing, but it's not the end of the world.
Tony, have you ever forgotten how many outs there were and had something happen?
No, now it had something. Okay. I forgot how many outs there was, but it didn't affect you.
I remember Larry Walker once caught a fly ball down the right field line, handed it to a fan in the first row, and then realized the ball was still live because it wasn't the third out. Had to go back over to the fan and ask him for the ball back so he could throw it into the infield. So
that was the funniest part, that
right.
He went and got the ball back.
Yes,
even though once he handed it, it's a dead ball, he's like, I'm going to need that back.
I need that back. Sorry
That's
about
hilarious.
That.
All right, we got through most of them. That was pretty good. Tomorrow, we are scheduled with Michael King. We have a short show with the Padres playing the Mets in New York, but good show, guys.
Good job. Scraby Chronicles are coming up next.
That's right.
So, and then the Padre Roundtable after that tonight from 6 to 7. So, Tony, have a good night in NYC. Got big plans?
Thank you, sir. No, I'm about to stuff my face with some Uber Eats here. Sure.
I think we should just end on that.
All righty. Last segment of the show. We have no time to waste. We got a big five. I'm not sure where that one camera is angled at, but nonetheless.
There it is.
It's Adam. I thought Adam just left. It's like, I'm
it has
done.
A mind of its own.
He's out.
Let's jump into the big five first. Here's some traffic.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danick.
Traffic is sponsored by Valvoline Instant Drafted Oil Change, your trusted instant drafted oil change. Well, good news for northbound 163 travelers. That accident has been clear from three right lanes near Mesa College. And an accident clearing stage on south 163 right at the southbound 5 connector. Only other problem is westbound 8 at College Avenue off-ramp. Accident involving a couple vehicles. Looks like that's blocking the left turn lane. Stop by any of the 30 San Diego Valvoline Instant Oil Change Centers. You don't have to get out of your car. That usually only takes 15 minutes or less. Plus, get a free courtesy check of your tires and battery. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for directions and discounts. SoCalOilChange.com. I'm Kelly Danick with Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only,
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
And this hour, 97.3 The Fan, is brought to you by the San Diego County Fair. Let's go retro at the San Diego County Fair, opening June 12th. So it's already open. That was yesterday. The Magic of the Midway and live concerts featuring the Kings of Late Night, Jay Leno, Craig Ferguson, and Arsenio Hall are performing live June 21st. Get your tickets now at sdfair.com. Let's go retro. Don't be laughing over there, Chris. You were the one who read the Lay Leno thing a couple weeks ago, so here we go. Let's get into it. He's just shaking his head.
Number five. He doesn't take your bait anymore. He just ignores you, which is great.
He doesn't. All right, let's talk about Garrett Crochet and Bleacher Report. I mean, the trade rumors on this guy are going to keep coming and keep coming until the trade deadline is over. And Bleacher Report's Zach Reimer put out a list with the top 10 locations for Garrett Crochet. The Padres, number one on his list of teams that will acquire Garrett Crochet. We know that he does have some injury history and has never thrown as many innings as he could potentially throw this year. But, Tony, would this be more of a move for the future, or would this be a move for this year?
I guess both, because I think he's under control beyond this year.
He is, yeah, two more years.
Yeah, you know, we'll see. I personally am not comfortable with it. I think this is a risky. That would be a risky move given his injury history. But you know, when he's healthy, he's good. He's really good. So I don't know what that means. Padres may or may not address this part of the team. We will see.
Yet to be determined. Chris, would this be a move for the future, or would it be for this year?
This is a move they should not make. That's all. I mean, that's not a question.
Well, I know it wasn't,
but I don't want them to do this. They've traded eight guys from their farm system already. I'm not a fan of farm system guys. You know that. But you have to keep somebody. And I don't think you can spread yourself any thinner. To me, Darvish is going to be back. Musgrove might be back. Either way, Vasquez is fine with me to fill in if need be. And if you bring Crochet and you have six starters, I'm not comfortable sending Waldron to the bullpen right now. But I'm least of all comfortable giving up more prospects. I think they've already reached their limit.
I don't mind giving up prospects, but I just feel like at least the guys they've traded for in the past didn't have these type of question marks. You know, the one guy that I guess he really didn't have a question mark when they traded for him. He had one thereafter was Clevinger.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody else that they've made moves for, you know, you haven't really had to worry about that type of deal. But Crochet has missed what I think each of the last two seasons or missed parts of each of the last two seasons.
Pretty much a year and a half.
So I don't know.
Hasn't had any issues this year.
Number four.
Philadelphia Sports Radio is running wild right now with speculation that Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni are not getting along. Recently, Jalen Hurts was asked about Sirianni and his new role. Now the offensive coordinator Kellen Moore is going to be taking over the offense. And here is what Jalen Hurts said and why people are concerned.
I mean, it's a great question. I don't know that I know the answer to it.
So he doesn't know the answer to it, which is not the best look, I don't think, for the star quarterback. He went on to say in that clip, because they asked him for a clarification, he said, I think he's been great in the messages he's delivering to the team. He's trying to be very intentional with what he's saying. So people are taking this as Jalen Hurts not backing his head coach. Chris, do you think, or what do you think about his response?
I can't, I don't know, I can't read Jalen Hurts' mind. It sounded like there might be a little something there, but they're probably overdoing it. It is Philadelphia, after all. So since they normally overdo things, I'll go ahead and overdo something. Are you telling me that Kellen Moore is the new offensive coordinator of the Eagles?
Yes, he is.
I'm going to tell you that the Eagles are going to stink this year on offense. I'm tired of this guy being anointed as the next great thing. And in May, just go back to the fact that he played at Boise State and he tortured the Aztecs. Although it may not, because I don't know what great success this guy has actually had. There.
Fair point.
I said it.
It's a fair point. Tony, what do you think about Jalen Hurts' response here to, about Nick Sirianni?
What was the question that was he was asked?
Yeah, I know. It's really hard to hear. But the question was, what do you think about Nick Sirianni? And let me pull it back up. Hold on. Just make sure I get the right quote before I move on. He was asked about Nick Sirianni being open-minded to change with the offense and what it says about him.
I could see why he didn't know how to answer that question then. Like, openness to the new offense, he's not the coordinator no more. It's a new coordinator. So, I mean, what is his openness to this? I mean, what is his role in that? I mean,
basically, what people are saying is there is no role for Nick Sirianni anymore. He's just head cheerleader.
I don't know if many people know this, but the head coach is literally just supposed to kind of head coach the entire team. Like, he doesn't really have a offensive role.
Almost every team has their own offensive coordinator and defensive.
He's kind of just the guy who corrals it all, brings it all together. So I can see why he may not have really understood how to answer that question from whoever asked it. And then, of course, you know, when you don't answer the question, even if it's a tough question to answer, we all just make up what we want to make up at that point. And so now he's not backing his head coach.
Yeah, you know, I can't say that I'm sad to see that the Eagles are in disarray as they are right now. So,
number three.
Thank you, Adam.
The 49ers will soon follow.
We're going to stay in Philly for this one and talk about the Phillies. They are off to a great start, and they are looking like a team to beat. And as we've been talking about trade rumors here in San Diego, in Philly they are talking about bringing a first baseman to the team in a form of one of these three: Pete Alonso, Vladdy Jr., or Diamondbacks Christian Walker at the trade deadline. That would actually require Bryce Harper to move from first base out to right field again, and then Castellanos going from right field to field.
Wait,
Tony, you're up for it. Yes.
Real quick, they said they're looking for a first baseman?
No, I'm saying this is like sports media
pandering
about it and thinking, like, how can we improve this team? Tony, do you see the Phillies getting any of these guys in a trade?
Oh, you said Alonso. Who was the other one?
Vladdy Jr. and Christian Walker.
Yeah, here's the problem. And I think it would be a mistake to bring those guys, not because they wouldn't make the team that much stronger offensively. You start really having to shuffle people playing defense. You already got Schwarber, who is a defensive liability. That's why he is the DH on most nights. If you bring Alonso in, now you're forcing Bryce, who had Tommy John last year, to move to the outfield when he clearly wasn't prepared to do that. I just, you know, sometimes you should leave well enough alone. And I don't know that bringing in those three particular guys. Now, I don't know. Is somebody hurt that I'm missing?
Well, right now, Trey Turner has been hurt for a long time. I think he'll be back. No, and Brandon Marsh is out, but he's due back shortly. But he's been a platoon guy most of the year anyway.
I mean, so. I don't know. All three of those guys that you mentioned are everyday guys. Christian Walker.
Yes, they are.
Pete Alonso and
Vladdy Jr.
Vladdy. Bryce moving. And Bryce is, you know, Bryce is willing to do these things. So I guess it's a possibility. But I don't know that I would bring him in because it could mess up what you got going right now, which is a fantastic thing.
Yeah. Chris, do you see the Phillies bringing in any of these guys at the trade deadline?
I totally see them trying to do it because every team that's in contention feels like they have to improve the roster in order to win it all. And guess what? They don't. Tony's right. Leave well enough alone. You already have one of the best teams in baseball by a wide margin at the moment.
Yeah.
There's really nobody close. I don't think I would, you know, go out of my way to do this. I don't know their farm system, you know, in the ins and outs of all of it. But, Tony's right. You start changing guys around three or four position shifts, you start coughing up a run or two extra night in and night out, and it can catch up to you.
Listen, obviously those guys are all good, and if Bryce is willing to move back to the outfield, great. But, you know, if I assume he is, if they're actually talking about these type of things, so...
Yeah, he would be the person to start with. All right.
Right, I mean, he's right there in the building. Yeah. He's asking.
We'll go to the next, and this is probably the last, but Mets broadcaster Gary Cohen was not happy with the Oh, by the way, real quick, chat is saying Mets would never trade Alonso to in division to the Phillies, which I kind of
that
agree
seems
with.
That seems like a wild card, too. I was thinking the same thing.
Mets broadcaster Gary Cohen was not happy with the Marlins' baseball awareness in the third inning during last night's 10-4 loss to the Mets, the Marlins' loss to the Mets. He was angry because no one knew the force at second was the third out of the inning. Here is Gary Cohen last night calling the game.
Alvarez, who drove it around with a base hit his first time. Rivera goes to second and gets the force, which is the third out. The inning's over. Nobody on the field seems to know how many out there are. I mean, come on. 5-4 force ends the inning. You can get somebody killed that way.
So he went to break, you can get somebody killed that way.
Well, because they threw the relay to first base. Is
and
why
it went
he
over the guy's
that.
Head, and
yes,
it was like,
everyone was running after the loose ball, and the inning was over.
Yeah. Chris, yeah. How embarrassing is it to not know how many outs there are as a major
leaguer?
Well,
it's not the first time it's ever happened. So, right. You know, it's embarrassing, but it's not the end of the world.
Tony, have you ever forgotten how many outs there were and had something happen?
No, now it had something. Okay. I forgot how many outs there was, but it didn't affect you.
I remember Larry Walker once caught a fly ball down the right field line, handed it to a fan in the first row, and then realized the ball was still live because it wasn't the third out. Had to go back over to the fan and ask him for the ball back so he could throw it into the infield. So
that was the funniest part, that right. He went and got the ball back.
Yes,
even though once he handed it, it's a dead ball. He's like, I'm gonna need that back.
I need that back. Sorry,
that's hilarious. All right, we got through most of them. That was pretty good. Tomorrow, we are scheduled with Michael King. We have a short show with the Padres playing the Mets in New York, but good show, guys.
Good job. Scraby Chronicles are coming up next.
That's right.
So, and then the Padre Roundtable after that tonight from 6 to 7. So, Tony, have a good night in NYC. Got big plans?
Thank you, sir. No, I'm about to stuff my face with some Uber Eats here. Sure.
I think we should just end on that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.